turn with me to Romans chapter 10. And in Romans chapter 10, we're going to read a very familiar verse. It's verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I don't know how many of you have ever thought about why the verse is phrased the way it is. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing. So when you see the word so, that means that a lot of things happened before we got to this point. Let's look at verse 11. It says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. So we see that he's saying that there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek who call upon him. Okay? Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? For so many years, I read verse 14 as saying that in order to believe, in order to be heard, you have to have someone to teach you that, to preach that to you. But that is not what this verse is saying, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? I'm going to read it again because it all plays a role in getting down to verse 17. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? That word not is an absolute rejection of what they are hearing. That's what the word not means. And if you're taking notes, the Greek word is O-U. So it's an absolute negation of what they're hearing. So how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed or in whom they have rejected? Okay? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have OU heard? Again, they have rejected. They have dismissed. Okay? So it's not that they are not hearing about Jesus. It's not that they're not hearing about the gospel. They are rejecting what they hear. Okay? And so verse 15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed. Again, that word not is the same Greek word, O-U. They have not obeyed. They have rejected. They have turned their back. They are saying, we don't want any part of this. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith the Lord, who shall believe our report? Now, the question we have to ask is, who is Paul talking about? Because that's very important, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go back to verse 1. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel is that they might be saved. So who is he talking about? Who is he talking to? Israel. So he has laid out everything in chapter 10, trying to get his brethren, Israel, to see that Jesus is Lord. That's what he is doing in the entire chapter 10. And how do I know this? We just read it, but look at verse 21. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a what? Disobedient and gainsaying people. Now, why am I making such a stress on this? Because when Paul gets down to verse 17, he says, so then faith. When he says, so then faith, he's saying that if you are doing everything that we have read in verses 11 through 16, you are not going to receive faith. If you are rejecting what you are hearing, you're not going to receive faith. Now, this is important because when we read verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by, that's the first by, hearing, and hearing by, that's the second by, the word of God. The first word, hearing, The first word by is the word ek, E-K. And E-K means it's the source. It's the origin of something. So the first part of verse 17 is saying, by faith, so then faith cometh by hearing. Faith originates. The source of faith, are you following me? The source of faith is hearing. Okay? That's the source of faith. The ek. Faith comes by, the source of faith is hearing. So, without hearing, ladies and gentlemen, there is no faith. Now the next question then becomes, what is it that we are supposed to hear? We see that in the second part of the verse. And hearing by the word of God. Now that word by is the word dia, D-I-A, and it means through. So, faith comes through hearing the word of God. Are you following me? The first thing you have to understand is that there is no faith that's going to come without hearing. And what must be heard is this. Are you following me? Faith doesn't come from trials. Faith comes only. Faith originates through this book. Faith originates through this book. Okay? Now, look at Hebrews chapter 1. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, another familiar verse. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Based on what we just heard about faith, if faith is the substance, that means the faith that is the substance is based on what? Hearing the word of God. You see this? Faith is based on hearing the word of God. If your faith is not based on hearing the word of God and doing what the word of God says, verse 1 of chapter 11 does not apply to you. Because your faith will have no substance. Are you following me? That's why it's so important for us to understand that this book, without this book, there is no such thing as faith, ladies and gentlemen, without this book. It's the only way we will ever, have it. And I think about Abraham. Remember how God told Abraham he was going to be the father of many nations. And it says, and I think in Genesis chapter 12, that Abraham left his family based on what God has said. Okay, so Abraham walked out in faith. What was Abraham's faith based on? What God said. Okay, and in the process, God created in his mind what I call a movie. Because God says, Abraham, I'm going to show you what is going to happen as a result of you stepping out on faith. And he shows him the sands of the ground. He shows him the stars. And he said, I want you to picture this, Abraham. All the stars that you see represent all the children, all of your descendants. Do you see that picture, Abraham? Do you see that picture in your head? Children, children, and more children. And then Abraham, when you look at the sand, they represent your descendants, children, more children, more children. So God created an image in Abraham's head about what his descendants would look like, about, you know, how numerous his descendants would be. And I thought about how there are things that can create images or movies in our heads. Okay. And Michaela provided an excellent example with her Facebook post about baking bread. I think you said it was for the first time. And can you imagine as you close your eyes and you can smell the bread. It's just drawing you, wooing you. You could just smell it. You're driving by the house and you smell the bread. You stop. You go up to the door. You knock on the door. Michaela opens the door. She smiles. You smile back and you walk past her because your focus is on, I'm smelling this bread. Where is this bread that I'm smelling? And so you walk through the house and there it is on the countertop. Still steam coming out of it. Oh, the aroma is just, you start to salivate. And so you look at Michaela. Michaela looks at you. She knows what you want. She knows you want a piece of that bread. So she reaches in, she pulls out a knife. She sets the knife down. Then she goes over to the refrigerator. She opens the door. And then she pulls out a stick of butter. She smiles, you smile. And then she takes the knife and she hands it to you. And then she says, go ahead. And you cut you a piece of that bread. And you're eating that bread and oh my gosh, it is oh so delicious. And then you open your eyes and you're standing right here in the church. And you have been in Michaela's house. You have eaten the bread. That's the movie that just aroma can create in your mind. Are you with me? Are you with me? How many of you have had a meal that has been prepared and you can smell it all throughout the house and you know exactly what it is? And in your mind, you have already eaten it before you got there, before you sat down at the table. It was so good. Okay? In many ways, ladies and gentlemen, that is the same way Jesus describes something in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 27, 28. He describes, he's showing us how powerful our minds really are. And in Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read two verses. Verse 27 and verse 28. Jesus says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay? Jesus said, you've heard it said by those of old times, thou shalt not commit adultery. But look at verse 28, ladies and gentlemen. He says, but, and when he says but, he's about to say something different than what you have heard. Okay? Jesus is about to tell you that what you have heard is not the way it is in the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Jesus says in verse 28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already. Where? In his heart. He has already committed adultery in his heart. He has not removed a stitch of clothing. He has not even kissed her. In his mind, he has done all of that. And Jesus said, you've committed adultery. But Jesus, I hadn't done anything. Yes, you have. You don't live under the law anymore. The law says you have to commit an act before you are guilty. Jesus said, because of the new nature on the inside of you, when you think about committing the act, when you play that movie in your head, you are guilty. You need to repent. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't live under the law. We live by the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it says that you can't even think that way. If you can think that way and it doesn't bother you, you may need to go back and get on your knees and say, am I really born again? Because if that doesn't bother you, it's a possibility that you have seared your conscience so much that you are no longer a Christian. See, Jesus has upped the ante. He said that, you know, you don't have to do it anymore. You can think it. You can dwell on it. And you have a problem. Okay? And see, that's the reason that pornography is such a big deal in the church today. Because what pornography does, pornography presents movies, and as you watch the movie, you create movies in your head based on what you're seeing. And Christians are just as guilty of that as non-Christians. And if I'm talking to anybody in who within the sound of my voice, you need to repent. You need to make it right, and you need to do it quickly. You need to do it quickly. And I think about movies. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 3, God shows how powerful movies can be. Remember how Satan approached Eve and he painted a picture of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that she responded to that went against what God has said in Genesis chapter 2 verses 15 and 17, which said, verse 15 and 17, which says, "And the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt," what? "Surely die." Now, Eve knew what God had said, but look at her response to the serpent in verse 6 of chapter 3. "And when the woman saw," the senses, ladies and gentlemen, will not agree with this. The senses will not agree with this. "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, even though God said you don't eat it, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, even though God says you don't eat it, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, even though God says you don't eat it, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it unto her husband also, who did eat." Eve saw, and what she saw was pleasant, and what she saw, she wanted it. She wanted it. The word desired, I didn't look it up in the Hebrew, but it would not surprise me one bit if it does, it's not the same word as lusted after. It would not surprise me one bit. So what we read here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, emotions disagreed with what God has said in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. And ladies and gentlemen, you have to know that it is your emotions that are going to take you away from God and His word and His power if you allow it to happen. It's going to be your emotions. It's going to be your emotions. "I don't want to spend time in prayer today. I just don't feel it." That's your emotions. "I don't want to worship today. I'm not in the mood." That is your feelings. Either you are going to live by the new nature that's on the inside of you, or you are never, ever, ever, ever going to experience what God has waiting for you. Okay? Now, Satan has not changed. God describes the source of the movie of depravity and evilness that reigned unchecked in the human race before the flood. Look at chapter 6. Look at verse 5. Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention to the words. "And God saw," and what is it that God saw? "The wickedness of man was great in the earth." The wickedness of man was great in the earth. Everything that was bad, everything that could break, cause harm, cause death, was wicked in the earth, within man. Now look at the second part. "And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was" what? "Evil continually." Evil continually. When God saw that man was playing a continuous movie loop of evil in his mind. Every thought was evil continuously. That's why he had to bring the flood, because there was no other way. If he had not brought the flood, the loop would have continued in more wickedness in more and more people. Okay? Look at verse 11. We're going to see a little bit more. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Why was the earth corrupt before God and filled with violence? Because the imaginations of the heart were wicked, and the imagination of the thoughts of the heart were wicked, were evil continually. Continually. And God, verse 12, looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. How did all flesh corrupt its way? The imaginations of the thoughts of the heart were evil continually. Are you following me? I'm not going to dwell, which is very easy to do. But when you look at what's going on in our country today, there is a lot of evil continually going on in the minds and in the hearts of a lot of people. A lot of people. California just passed a bill. The governor just signed a bill that said children, the age 12 and above, don't have to let their parents know if they want to go through gender change. If a girl thinks she's a boy, she don't have to tell her parents. She can go and get treatment without having to tell her parents. If a girl wants to have an abortion, she's 12 years old, she can have that without telling her parents. California has signed that into law. That is evil continually, ladies and gentlemen. Evil continually. And the Lord said in verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So we see, ladies and gentlemen, that the imaginations of the thoughts of the heart is the reason the imaginations of the thoughts of the heart, which were evil continually, is the reason God had to bring the flood so that humanity can start over. Okay? Now, when God brought the flood, guess what? It did not rid the earth of verse 5. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. It did not eradicate the earth of that. But there were folks on the ark. This would have fit them as well. It would have fit them as well. But God says in chapter 8, verse 21, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Or when he sees for man's sake, it's because of man. I will no longer curse the ground. For the imagination of man's heart, the movies that will play in his mind after the flood is evil from his youth. That's the sin nature. That's the sin nature. We have a choice, ladies and gentlemen, because we are born again and we have God's life and nature in us. We can allow movies that don't agree with God's word play in our minds on a continuous loop, or we can force our minds to play God's word, God's movies, in our minds on a continuous loop. We have that choice. We can make that decision. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, a very familiar record, but it fits so well in what we're talking about. And as we talk about Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to give you the title of the message. Yeah, but Brother Barry, you're already halfway through. I know. I was just saving it. Well, I'll give it to you now. We need to have faith-producing movies. Faith-producing movies is the title of this message. We need to have faith-producing movies playing in our minds on a continuous loop. On a continuous loop. When faith-producing movies are playing in our minds on a continuous loop, at some point, John chapter 14, verse 12 is no longer going to be a foreign concept. When Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father. As we let faith-producing movies play in our minds on a continuous loop, at some point, John chapter 14, verse 12 is going to be who you are. Say it with me. John chapter 14, verse 12. Okay, when I ask you to say something, I'd like to hear it. Okay, so let's start again. John chapter 14, verse 12 is who I am. John chapter 14, verse 12 is who I am. All right. Now, was that so hard? We're going to pick up Mark chapter 5. And we're going to pick it up in verse 25. And this is the example. We're going to read about the woman who had an issue of blood. In verse 25, it says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his clothes. But she said, now in Matthew chapter 9, verse 21, it adds the phrase within herself. So I'm going to insert it here. For when she said within herself, are you following where I'm going with this? If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Okay? Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. This woman, ladies and gentlemen, had not had any human contact in 12 years. How many of you can go without human contact for 1 week? It's difficult. It's difficult. But she had not had human contact for 12 years. And this woman had run out of options. But when she hears about this man named Jesus, and how she hears about Jesus, you remember how the man of the Gadarenes, and he came out and he was cutting himself in the tombs at night and crying and wailing and all this, and then Jesus heals him. She heard about that because, see, Jesus told the man to go and tell his family what God had done for him. And so the Bible says that he went into the Decapolis. The Decapolis was a city, was an area of 10 cities. So he went around the whole Decapolis telling the entire Decapolis. How God had blessed him, how God had healed him, how God had delivered him. She heard about that, ladies and gentlemen. She heard about that. So word has spread throughout the region that Jesus delivered the crazy man who lived in the tombs. She thinks about the God-awful sounds the man made as he cut himself with stones. Why did he do this, she thinks. And this is when she begins to develop her faith movie. Okay, now I want you to follow me as I read this. She's thinking, but this man Jesus delivered him. He no longer roams the hillside naked and raving like a lunatic. They say he's lucid and wearing clothes now. Is it possible that this same Jesus can heal me of this plague? Do you see the faith movie starting to develop. Faith movies, ladies and gentlemen, start with the idea that the impossible is possible. Faith starts with the idea that the impossible is possible. I can see her as she thinks about the possibility of being whole again. Oh my, she says as tears well up in her eyes. I'll be able to go into the synagogue again and not be an outcast. She hasn't been in the synagogue for 12 years. But I believe Jesus can change that, she says softly. And oh, I will be able to have lunch with Hazel again, she says softly. When Hazel walks by her home and sees her, she smiles and folds her arm across her, and she sways back and forth like she's giving the woman a great big hug. That's what Hazel does when she sees the woman. I miss her so much, but I believe Jesus can heal me. I'll be hugging her again soon, she says to herself and smiles. Do you see the faith movie developing in her head? Every day she walks to the town square, hoping to see Jesus. She sees herself walking up to him, falling at his feet, telling her story, and begging him to heal her. She has seen the movie play in her mind over and over and over again for days. In her movie, she's already healed. The day finally arrives. She runs to the door when she hears all the noise and excitement. Could it be Jesus? Could it be him? And then she says to herself softly, Jesus, Jesus. She rushes out into a crowd so large, it would be impossible to get to Jesus without touching someone, making the person unclean, making the person just like her. But she couldn't concern herself with that right now. Jesus is her only hope after 12 long years of futility and hopelessness. As she works her way through the crowd, the people step aside and turn away. She's unclean, they say. She's unclean. They cannot allow her to touch them. She's unclean. She realizes that she will not have a chance to talk to Jesus. Too many people. So she adds a scene to her movie. Are you following me? She adds a scene to her movie. All I need to do is just touch his clothes and I will be whole. She reaches behind Jesus, touches the hem as he walks by. She's healed of the plague instantly. At that moment, she hears Jesus say, power has left me. Someone touched me. Are you seeing the movie, ladies and gentlemen? Jesus walks past the woman. She touches the fringes of his clothes and draws the healing power she needs from him. She added a scene to the movie that had been playing in her head for days. In her movie, she had gone from begging Jesus to heal her to simply touching him, touching his clothes. She went from begging to just simply touching his clothes. Let's read what Jesus says to her one more time. Daughter, thy faith producing movie. It's not in here. Okay. I added the faith producing part. Thy faith producing movie hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So my question for you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, what are the movies playing in your head on a regular basis? Is the movie playing that when you walk up to someone and you pray for them, that person is healed immediately? Is that the movie that plays in your head? Is the movie that plays in your head is when someone asks you to pray for them about something, the prayer is answered immediately? Is that the movie that plays in your head? Is the movie that plays in your head have to do with everything that you speak that's in accordance with God's word, it comes to pass? Is that the movie that's playing in your head? Jesus says in John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Let's close again back with Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's restate Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 for this message. Now faith is developed seen by seeing, as you are producing your deliverance movie. Faith is developed scene by scene as you are developing, as you are producing your deliverance movie. In your mind, you have already seen at the box office before you see the final credits begin to roll. Are you seeing it, ladies and gentlemen? Are you seeing it, ladies and gentlemen? Are you seeing your faith producing movie? Are you seeing it already at the box office? And the final credits are not even rolling yet, but you know it is at the box office. And the image that I wanted to create by saying this at the box office, it is now real. It is now reality. It is now part of your life. So from this day forward, ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you. The Bible says, David said, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my God. When that happens, you will be producing faith, producing movies. When you understand that faith starts with God's word, and apart from God's word, it is impossible to have faith, then as you continue to speak God's word, as you continue to speak God's word, but Brother Barry, I don't see it happening in my life. So what? Just because you don't see it at the start does not mean it's not going to be there at the finish. But you have to continue producing faith movies over and over and over and over. And don't let anything get you to the point that you are not producing faith movies. Our families need us to produce faith movies. Our friends and acquaintances need us to produce faith movies. And we know our country needs us to produce faith movies. So I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, that beginning today, if you have not already been doing that, you are going to be producing faith movies. Amen?